thank the Lord for the privilege of sharing another Ray of Truth broadcast with you. This broadcast service originates in the radio studios of the Church of God in Hagerstown, Maryland, United States of America. Wherever you are listening to our international broadcast, this is Alvin A. Craig, and we welcome you. Our Heavenly Father, we are truly thankful for the privilege of sharing this broadcast service with this precious people today. We're thankful for each one in our congregation, and we're praying that the Holy Spirit will make the broadcast a blessing. May it be used of Thee to encourage any Christian to press the battle on, and if there be unsaved in our congregation, may the Holy Spirit be able to use our broadcast to draw precious souls unto Thyself. For this is our prayer and this is our desire. In Jesus' name, amen. Scriptures tell us that we are to cast all of our care upon the Lord, for He cares for us. It is indeed wonderful and consoling to know that there is a God in heaven who cares for each and every one of us. Each one of us have different problems and trials and tests that we must face as we journey through life, but God knows and God understands. And again, He's invited us, He's instructed us to cast all of our care upon Him. How wonderful Jesus Christ is to those who know Him, who love Him, and who serve Him.
My Savior dear, I love Thee.
Our subject for today's broadcast, emotions, and our text of Scripture is the shortest verse in the Bible. Jesus wept. According to the American Heritage Dictionary, emotion means an intense mental state that arises subjectively rather than through conscious effort, and is often accompanied by psychological changes, a strong feeling, the emotions of joy, sorrow, reverence, hate, and love. There are extremes we need to guard against. One is excessive emotionalism that relies on vague feelings and ignores truth. Another is a stoic faith, a cold, emotionless religion with empty exercises or form. The importance of emotion in Christianity. Let us consider this thought. The importance of emotion in Christianity. We need to get excited and emotional about the gospel message. If we are not moved emotionally about the gospel, we need to check our spirituality. For Paul said the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. And if there's anything in the world to be emotional about, it is the salvation of our soul through the gospel of Christ. Let me give you some Bible examples of emotions. Moses, when he was up on the mount, God told him to come down off of the mount because there were things that were going on down there in the valley that were not right. The people had persuaded Aaron to make them a golden calf. They were worshiping it, and they were carrying on in an indecent way. And when Moses came down off of the mount and saw what was going on, he certainly expressed emotions. He was angry, and he threw the two tables of stone and broke them. That's why he had to go back up on the mount the second time, because of his emotion. And then the second one I want to refer to is Joseph. You remember the story of Joseph, how he was sold by his brothers when he was 17 years of age and was taken into Egypt and there made a slave. But God was with him and brought him out and put him in a very important place in the government of Egypt, second only to the Pharaoh. And he had told Pharaoh the meaning of a dream, and Pharaoh appointed Joseph to gather in harvest during the 7 years of plenty for the saving of the people, for the feeding of the people, after the 7 years of plenty was over and the 7 years of famine started. Now Jacob and his family still lived in Canaan. And when the famine came and they had nothing to eat, he sent his sons, at least some of them, into the land of Egypt to buy food for him, for his family, even for their cattle. And Joseph recognized his brothers. He didn't do anything to let them know who he was at first. But the time came whenever Joseph made himself known to his brothers. And that was a very emotional time. First of all, he had required them to bring his younger brother, Benjamin, whom they did not bring the first time. And when he saw Benjamin, his full brother, he was certainly moved with compassion, with emotion toward him. And he went out and he wept. And he came back in before his brothers, and he eventually let himself be made known to them. I am Joseph, your brother that you sold into Egypt. And what an emotional time they were there at that time. But there was even a more emotional time for Joseph, for he sent wagons and servants back to the land of Canaan to bring his father and the rest of their family into the land of Egypt. And they were put in the area known as Goshen. And Joseph took his chariot and went out to Goshen and visited his father. And when he saw his father for the first time for many years, he fell on his father's neck, and they both wept, and they hugged one another and held on to one another for a considerable period of time. What an emotional time that was, not only for Joseph, but for his father Jacob as well. Now, Joshua tore his clothes and fell on the earth on his face when the men of Ai smote the men of Israel, and 36 men died. There we see Joshua expressing his emotions. He had sent spies up to Ai, and they had come back with the report that it was a small city, was not necessary to send the full army up there. And Joshua had taken their counsel and had sent only a few thousand troops. But the people of the men of Ai came out, attacked them, and the children of Israel fled, and 36 of them were slain. And when Joshua saw what was happening, he fell on his face and he cried out to God. God revealed to him why Israel was defeated at that time. And he said, "There's sin in the camp, and I'll not be with you anymore until you get the sin out of the camp." And of course, Joshua did as God instructed him. The next time they went up, they conquered the city. But Joshua showed quite a bit of emotion when he fell on his face and cried out to God. And then we remember how that the children of Israel had taken the Ark of the Covenant into the battle when they were in war with the Philistines, and they were defeated, and the Ark of the Covenant was taken. And you remember the story about how their god Dagon fell over, and they set him up, and the second night his hands and his neck or a head broke off, and they decided they had better move him, and they moved him to another one of their cities and to another one. And finally they decided they'd better send that ark back to Israel, which they did. And it was put at a certain farmer's place for a number of years. And then David decided that he was going to have the ark brought into Jerusalem. And so they went and got the ark and brought it into Jerusalem. And David was very happy, and he demonstrated his happiness. He was very emotional whenever the Ark of the Covenant was brought into Jerusalem. Of course, there were many times when David showed emotion. Whenever he was facing the giant, he showed emotion. Is there not a cause? Should this uncircumcised Philistine charge the army of Israel, and they shake in their boots and be afraid? Is there not a cause? David was emotional, and he took his sling and his stones, and he went out there and he slew the giant. Again, there are various other instances in the life of David that where he showed emotion, but we'll move on to Jesus. Jesus displayed emotions many times. Many times Jesus showed emotion. Our text says that he wept. That was, of course, showing emotion. He wept at the grave of Lazarus because of the sisters and the others there that were weeping and were sad. And he called and commanded Lazarus to come forth, which he did. But Jesus wept there, and he was indeed emotional. He showed compassion and emotion on the lost. He came down across the Mount of Olives, looking over the Kidron Valley into Jerusalem. And again, the Bible says he wept. He wept over Jerusalem. Oh, Jerusalem, how oft would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathers her chickens under her wings, and you would not. So Jesus wept over the lost. He was concerned for the lost. He also showed special tenderness and emotion for little children. The mothers were bringing their children to have him to bless them, and the disciples told the mothers to take them on away and not to bother the master. And Jesus was stirred. He was displeased with his disciples in their doing that. And so he said to them, "Suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of heaven." And Jesus also showed special emotion and tenderness towards the sick. One time he was there, after he had fed the multitudes, he saw a multitude of people, and the Bible says he had compassion on them, and he healed their sick. Now, Jesus also had emotion in another way. He went into the temple there, and he saw those that were selling doves and oxen and money changers who were charging too much to exchange the money, and he was emotional. In fact, he was angry, and he went out, and he made a whip, and he came back in. He overturned the money changers' tables, and he drove the oxen out and those that were selling them. He was indeed emotional whenever he expressed anger. Yes, he expressed anger. And he expressed emotion through his anger, because he said, "My Father's house is supposed to be a house of prayer, and you have made it a den of thieves." So he was very emotional. He showed emotion as he drove the money changers out, and they were scattered. Their money was scattered, and they were driven out. And they knew that he was one of authority. Now, emotion is shown in the parables of the Good Samaritan, how the Good Samaritan took the man that had been beaten and left for dead. He took him, he nursed his wound, he took him to the inn, paid the innkeeper, and he said, "I'll be back. If the cost is more, I will pay you when I return." What emotion the despised Samaritan showed in that instance. Also, Jesus showed, or it is shown emotion in the parable of the one that we refer to as the prodigal son. Whenever the prodigal son saw his lost and undone state, made up his mind that he was going to return to father's house and confess his sin to God and to his father, the father met him, and they embraced one another, and there was a very emotional time there between the son and the father. Of course, the father represented God, and the son represented the wayward sinner. And there is emotion whenever a sinner repents of his sins and comes home to the Father. In fact, we are told in the Bible that there is rejoicing in heaven among the angels over one sinner that repenteth more than 99 just persons who need no repentance. And then we think of the Apostle Paul. Paul was very emotional at times. In his preaching, he said, "By the space of 3 years, I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears," Acts 20 and 31. So Paul was emotional as he was preaching the gospel to the lost. He was concerned for them. At Athens, his spirit was stirred within him when he saw the people given over to idolatry. Yes, he was emotional there, and he told them there at Athens, "You're too superstitious. You're worshiping these idols when you need to be worshiping the true and the living God." Yes, he told them about the God that they did not know, the God that had made the heavens and the earth, the one who gives to all life and breath, yea, and all things. And as we read his letters, we see emotion expressed, especially his love letter to the Philippian congregation. But he was emotional in other letters as well. The place of emotion in preaching and teaching is people need to feel that the preacher or the teacher has a love and a concern for their spiritual welfare. This calls for some emotion. Yes, it calls for emotion. People need to feel and to know that the minister, that the teacher is interested and concerned about their spiritual welfare. However, emotionalism alone cannot win souls to Christ. It does take the workings of the Holy Spirit, the convicting power of the Spirit. For Jesus said, "No one can come unto me except the Father which has sent me draw him." But there needs to be emotionalism in preaching and in teaching. But there also is the necessity of the working of the Holy Spirit. Now, we need to avoid either extreme. Some preachers are so legalistic and sterile and without any emotion at all. And Peter preached with emotion on the day of Pentecost. And some of it was kind of hard, but it was still emotional. And it had its effect. But there was more than emotion there when Peter preached. It was also the working of the Spirit of God when 3,000 souls were saved. Yes, Peter had emotion when he stood up and he said, "These men are not drunken as ye suppose, but this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, that in the latter days God would pour out his Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy." Now, godly sorrow produces repentance to salvation not to be repented of. And godly sorrow involves emotion. Yes, it involves emotion. When Peter denied Christ, and Jesus looked at Peter with such compassion and love and emotion, Peter went out and he wept bitterly, the Bible says. There was emotion there when Peter went out and wept. He realized and acknowledged to God and to himself that he had indeed betrayed his Lord and his Savior. And he went out and he wept bitterly with tears. A person who feels no emotion about his sinful state will never be saved. Let me repeat that. A person who feels no emotion about his sinful state will not be saved. A place for emotion in worship. How can we partake of the Lord's Supper and not feel emotion. When we realize that the bread and the wine represent his body and the blood of the new covenant, there is emotion. It's one of the most meaningful services we have throughout the year. How can we pray in the Spirit, being conscious of God, and not feel reverence and emotional? How can we give cheerfully to the Lord's cause and not feel gratitude to God for his blessings and his goodness? For it is through God that we have the material blessings that we have. How can we sing in the Spirit and not be inspired and uplifted? Sometimes in our services here, the singing is so inspiring and Spirit anointed, I feel like, well, I'd just like for the congregation to keep on singing, forget about the preaching. How can we sing in the Spirit, sing the songs of Zion without feeling emotion, by being inspired and uplifted? Now, we should never allow emotions to become the basis of our beliefs. We should never allow emotions to become the basis of our beliefs. Emotions must always be tempered with self-control. But there is joy in the Lord, and there is emotion in Christian living. Jesus wept, and he was concerned, and so there are times we need to weep, and times we need to be concerned, but there are also times when we need to rejoice and be glad in our Father and in our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. So there is emotion, and some of it is good, and some of it may not be so good, but there is emotion, and there is emotion in living for Christ. Heavenly Father, we pray that you'll bless these thoughts to our precious congregation today. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. It's been a privilege to share another Way of Truth broadcast with you. We trust that it has proven to be a blessing. If so, why not let us know? Our mailing address, The Way of Truth Broadcast, Post Office Box 88, Hagerstown, Maryland, 21741, USA. The Way of Truth Broadcast, Post Office Box 88, Hagerstown, Maryland, 21741, USA. Our email address, truth@fred.net, truth@fred.net. And our webpage address, www.wayoftruth.org, www.wayoftruth.org. And now, this is Alvin A. Craig. We thank you for listening to the broadcast today, and we invite you to tune in next week when, again, the Lord willing, we'll be coming your way with another Way of Truth broadcast.
Ever since Jesus saved and pardoned, I have been singing every day.
I've never been sorry.
Praise the Lord.
That I trusted his
blessed
name.
Holy name. Through the dark shadows, he is with me, leading me on the upward way.
I've never been sorry.
Praise the Lord.
That I trusted his
blessed
name.
Holy name.
I've never been sorry.
Praise the Lord.
That I trusted his
blessed
name.
Holy name.
Moment I find him,
all the way,
exactly the same.
He's exactly the same.
My song has been singing
every day.
Story,
praising him for his wondrous love.
I've never been sorry.
Praise the Lord.
That I trusted his
blessed holy name. Surely I know a home is waiting, beautiful home in heaven above.
I've never been sorry.
Praise the Lord.
That I trusted his
blessed holy name.
I've never been sorry.
Praise the Lord.
That I trusted his
blessed
name.
Holy name.
Every moment I find him,
all the way,
exactly the same.
He's exactly the same.
My soul has been singing
every day.
Savior
came. Since the Savior
came. I've never been sorry.
Praise the Lord.
That I trusted his
blessed holy name. Brightly the star of hope is shining, making my pathway brighter grow.
I've never been sorry.
Praise the Lord,
that I trusted his
blessed holy name. Never a thought of sad repining.
sorry.